This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Anthony Anderson, is the star of the new Fox series, Kayville, which will feature its second episode tonight. Anderson plays a cop in New Orleans 2 years after Hurricane Katrina, protecting those who still live in the city. It's shot on location. His role as Marlon Boulay, a member of the Felony Action Squad, is quite a departure from his role on the cop series The Shield as Antoine Mitchell, a brutal gang leader and heroin dealer. Anderson's recent movies include Transformers, Hustle and Flow, and The Departed. He's also been in a lot of comedies like Me, Myself, and Irene, Barbershop, and Malibu's Most Wanted. Let's start with a scene from Kayville. During the hurricane, Boulay's partner got scared and abandoned him. Boulay's new partner, played by Cole Hauser, is new to the force and claims to be new to New Orleans. But Boulay gets a little suspicious of that claim after a chase in which his partner seems to know his way around the city. So Boulay confronts him.
Should have known when he told me to take the neutral ground.
What?
And just yesterday, at the quarter, I drew that map on the ground. You knew this city.
Yeah, so what?
Look up. What do you see, huh?
I see the sky, the sun.
Yeah. See the street signs?
What?
See the punks around here, they steal them to confuse the cops. But look at you. Man from Cincinnati, driving the Ziggies and asking no directions.
I've been there, Boulay. Now, what the hell's gotten into you?
You lie again. I swear to God, I'll cuff you before you even see my hands. Who are you, cop? What's your angle?
It's not my problem that your last partner deserted you. Now you're paranoid and you're cracking up.
How do you know these streets, then?
I did my basic training in Fort Polk and Leesville, you idiot. And I came down here all the time. Now put your gun down. You ever do that again, and one of us ain't walking away.
Cole Hauser and my guest Anthony Anderson in a scene from the new Fox series, Kayville. Anthony Anderson, a pleasure to have you. Welcome to Fresh Air. Would you describe your character in Kayville?
Oh, Marlon Boulay. Very conflicted. He's not a by-the-books kind of officer. You know, he's the kind of officer that you want on your police force protecting your streets. But, you know, I do have my vices. I drink on the job, given the circumstances and everything that, you know, I went through in the last couple of years with Hurricane Katrina coming through and decimating our city. And, you know, even though the story is 2 years later, still dealing with the abandonment of my partner leaving me, still have abandonment issues because my wife and my daughter have left and relocated to Atlanta now. So, you know, just dealing with that and trying to rebuild our community, rebuild our city, and literally rebuild our home.
What are some of the neighborhoods and locations that you're shooting in New Orleans?
You know, we're all over New Orleans. We're in the lower Ninth Ward, which was completely decimated by the storm. Upper Nine, you know, we're in the French Quarter. You know, we're all over the city of New Orleans. New Orleans isn't just a backdrop for our television show. New Orleans is actually a character, an essential, integral part of our show. So we're all over the place. And, you know, we really couldn't cheat this on a back lot, you know, or on a soundstage someplace. It would be doing a disservice to the show, but more importantly, it would be doing a disservice to the people of New Orleans and what their rebuilding efforts are. So we have to be there, and we're all over in every nook and cranny.
Are you finding the city to be as dangerous as depicted on the pilot?
It can be. You know, another thing that I've done and that I do on a continual basis, I roll with SWAT on ride-alongs in the middle of the night. And, you know, you really get to see the city, you know, unveiled. You know, there's nothing like riding along with a SWAT team during a midnight raid, you know, 2 a.m., serving high-risk felony warrants in some of the worst projects in the city with MP3 and MP4. Assault rifles and concussion grenades and full body armor. You know, to witness that firsthand is unbelievable.
Have there been times when you were out with a SWAT team and the people that were about to arrest recognized you from one of your movies or recognized you as the heavy Antoine Mitchell from The Shield?
Oh, yeah. It was 1 a.m. We got a call that, you know, this was a narcotics house. And so SWAT rolls there. They secure the perimeter, the whole block, and they move in. And it actually just happened to be a crack den. So they pull out 11 addicts, handcuff them to one another around the Suburban. And, you know, SWAT has surrounded them. And, you know, they're all tweaking. And one guy looks over, and I know he's really tweaking now because he's looking at me. And he's like, oh, damn, that's Kangaroo Jack. That's Kangaroo Jack. Oh, man, you done made my night. You made my night. And I was like, brother, you're handcuffed to 10 other crackheads surrounded by SWAT with assault rifles about to go down. And you're telling me you want my autograph and I've made your night? He was like, yeah, man. And I was like, okay. Okay, so that was one of the lighter moments of rolling around with SWAT.
Now, what was it like for you going from being like a really cold, mean character on The Shield? You know, you're not only a heroin dealer, a big heroin dealer, but you're the head of this really violent gang in L.A. You were on The Shield. Now you're in prison. So what was it like going from being a character like that, who's always at odds with the police, to being a cop on your new series, K-Ville?
You know, I loved it. I loved the dichotomy of it, you know, being on one extreme and taking it to the other. Both characters are similar in my opinion. I mean, you know, Antoine Mitchell felt this is the hand that he was dealt, and he played it as best he could. And, you know, in his mind's eye, yeah, he was a heroin dealer and, you know, the head of this gang, this cartel or whatever you want to call it. But he was also doing great things in the community, you know, building community centers and bringing computers into these community centers for inner city youth for them to, you know, better themselves. And he didn't really preach, not necessarily follow him in his footsteps, but, you know, this was his way of giving back. This was his atonement for, I believe, for what, you know, he was doing in the neighborhood.
And in your description of Antoine, I don't think you sufficiently gave him credit for how, like, violent and just really cold he is when he feels that somebody is his enemy. And to demonstrate that, I want to play a scene from The Shield. Here is Antoine Mitchell. You had a gang called the One-Niners, and you've been dealing tar heroin. You've made a deal with a cop named Shane and his partner. Mm-hmm. And these cops are getting a take of your money in return for protecting you. But a big stash that you were hiding in a church was busted. And you think that Shane informed on you. And now you intend on letting him know that you're the one who has the power. So Shane speaks first. He's played by Walton Goggins.
Look, they may have grabbed your shit, but the investigation is sealed off. No roads lead back to you. Just say thank you, Antoine.
Do you know how much you cost me today, huh? In product and in manpower.
Well,
do you?
If you'd have kept me in the loop on your tar castle, then maybe I could have kept an eye out for you, homie.
Yeah. Travis Peace! Give me both that gun. Payback, bitch! I don't get played, and I ain't your homie.
Oh, man, you're gonna get...
Shut up, bitch! You knew they were taking down my shit. My nigga saw you faggots on the goddamn raid. So how you trying to tell me now there was nothing that you could do? Huh? You think you was ever making rules around here?
You're not stupid enough to bring that kind of heat down on your ass.
That's my guest, Anthony Anderson, and Walton Goggins in a scene from The Shield. And I should mention to our listeners that you're not actually meeting out the blows in this. You're not the one beating up the two cops. Your boys are doing that. But you're watching and directing them they do it. What did you do to play somebody like this? What did you get in touch with in yourself? Or what did you remember from people who you might have known in the past?
That's exactly what I did. You know, I'm from Compton, California, grew up in the inner city, and knew characters like Antoine Mitchell. who basically did what he did. They were running the streets, but yet they saw it in themselves to mentor, if you will, to kids like me. And was like, you know what, Anthony, you shouldn't be out here doing this, you know. And because I'm telling you that this is what I'm going to help the neighborhood do, you know. And they set up programs in the city parks. They set up community centers. I knew Antoine Mitchell's, you know. So I pulled on that, you know, an actor who I've met, never had the chance to work with, Idris Elba. I liked what he did with his character Stringer Bell on The Wire, and I just looked at how he worked and how he maneuvered as that character, and took bits and pieces from that and just married it with, you know, my own ideas, you know, and the things that you heard, you know, from the excerpt of the Shield that you just played just now, and what it ultimately did, you know, Antoine Mitchell actually, you know, shot someone in later on in that scene. And
a teenage girl who informed on him, and he's going to pay back.
Yeah, and you know, even though I did, you know, that character did do that, a heinous crime like that, you know, it for him, it was really the cost of doing business. You know, it was that's how he rationalized these things. That's how I portrayed him. You know, it's not that he wanted to kill this person, but he had to. This was the cost of doing business. And, you know, I tried to humanize him as much as I could, you know, given the situations and who he is and what he did. But, you know, what he did, it was just par for the course. But he was a bad man. Antoine Mitchell was a bad man.
So you said that you knew people like him, and who tried to, like, mentor some of the young people in the community. So what was your relationship with one of the people who you would compare to Antoine?
You know, these were just, you know, older, you know, kids and older men in our neighborhood, you know, that we grew up, who may have been 5-10 years our senior. And, you know, you can decide to go left or decide to go right at an early age, you know, for good or bad. And, you know, the decisions and the choices are up to you. You know, my mother and father instilled in me what right and wrong was. And I know what path I didn't want to go down, because ultimately I knew it could only end me up behind bars or 6 feet under. And that's not the route that I wanted to take, because all of that would happen at a very early age. And, you know, guys like Antoine Mitchell, you know, knew who the weak, if you will, or the strong, if you will, in the neighborhood were. And they were like, OK, look, this is, you're not built for this. You know, this isn't the life for you. You know, they admired and respected me, because I've always wanted to be an actor since I was 9 years old. This was my dream. So around the neighborhood, I was the actor to them. So, you know, they did everything that they possibly could to help me pursue my dream.
Like what?
You know, donating to the theaters that I was a part of, you know, making sure that I got to rehearsals or had a way to get home late night, you know, when I was rehearsing plays and things like that. Coming out and supporting me at events. I went to the high school for the performing arts. They would come out to my performances, you know, because they wanted to be a part of something that was good and pure from where they came from. That's what I believed. So, you know, they would see that, and then they'd go back to the hood doing what they did and had a smile on their face. And they're like, man, you should have seen the actor this weekend. You should have seen them in this scene. You should have seen them in that commercial. So now when they see me on television or in films, you know, they feel a part of that, you know, regardless of where they are right now.
So you're still in touch with them. And regardless of where they are, sounds like some of them are in prison.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They are.
But you're still in touch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's where I'm from. It's who I am. I can't disconnect myself from you know, my life, from where I was. Mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. born and raised and bred as a young man. It's part of my makeup. It's what makes me who I am. So I can't just cut off my left arm because, you know, I don't use it as often as I used to.
How'd you get the part in The Shield?
I went in.
I should mention you'd done a lot of comedies before. You were probably better known for comedy.
Yeah, I was, you know, I had a string of comedies. You know, the last, prior to The Shield, the first 7 years of my career have all been comedic films and sitcoms. And so I was, you know, not really tired of being the funny guy. It was just like, you know what, before I'm typecast as, you know, the comic relief or the funny guy in this industry, you know what, let me take a step back and really show them what I can do and what I've been training at since I was 9. And I got the call from Sean Ryan to come in and audition for The Shield. I went in, I auditioned with everybody else, and I made it down to, you know, their final decision. I don't know who else was involved, but I eventually won out for the character of Antoine Mitchell.
My guest is Anthony Anderson, and he's now starring in the new Fox TV series, K-ville, which is a cop series set in New Orleans. You said that your mother was, you described her as a career extra in another interview. What role did acting play in her life?
It's because of my mother that I'm doing what I'm doing today. You know, she would do community theater, and I can distinctly remember sitting in the theater at Compton Community College, and my mother is on stage in a rehearsal of A Raisin in the Sun. And I'm sitting in the back of the house playing with my brothers and sisters, and I just happen to look to the stage at 9 years old and say, you know what? That's what I'm going to do with my life. And I went back to playing with my toys. That's when I had my epiphany. And consciously and subconsciously, since the age of 9, I've been preparing myself for not only where I am in my career right now, but where I see myself years from now. And that was the moment.
So when you were 9 and 10, what did you do to start preparing yourself for that path?
You know, anything that I can do in front of an audience, you know, be it reading poetry in school, spelling bees, you know, school plays, weekend conservatories, things like that. Any time there was an instance for me to get up and read out loud in class or whatnot, I you know, capitalized on every opportunity it was for me to do something like that, just to be in front of an audience and perform.
My guest is Anthony Anderson. He stars in the new Fox cop series, K-ville. Although he's become known as a dramatic actor, he got his start in comedies. His comedic films include Kangaroo Jack, Big Mama's House, and Me, Myself, and Irene. He even had a short-lived sitcom called All About the Andersons. Here's a scene from one of the film comedies he co-starred in, Malibu's Most Wanted. Anderson plays one of two actors who have just been hired by a politician to play gangsters and kidnap his son to scare him. The other actor, played by Taye Diggs, is running through his lines while Anderson directs him.
Give me a ride, punk, or I will dust your ass.
Nope. Not convincing.
Damn it.
Find your core character, Sean. You are an oppressed black man from the ghetto.
Yeah, I'm having trouble finding this one, man.
Hey, think Tupac.
All right, let me try it again. Just stay with me.
I see it. Action!
Give me a ride, punk, or I will dust your ass.
Atta biatch, and I think you got it.
Give me a ride, punk, or I will dust your ass, biatch.
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 Cricket. Turn around and do it again.
Biatch.
Yes.
That's my guest, Anthony Anderson, with Taye Diggs in a scene from Malibu's Most Wanted. Now, you had a short-lived sitcom called All About the Andersons that was loosely based on your own life. What parts of your life did you draw on for that show?
Every aspect of it, you know. I created that with my partner, Adam Glass. And it was just, you know, a show about, you know, three generations of men living under one roof. You know, my father, myself, and my son. But, you know, the character on the show was my character pre-Howard University and post-Howard University. And that's what it was, you know, just having a dream and having a father who, you know, worked with his hands in the steel mills, you know, his entire life and not really understanding, you know, the visionary of his child, of his son, you know, who had a dream. It was like, okay, yeah, it's good to have a dream, but what are you going to do with that? How does your dream pay a mortgage? How does your dream put food on the table? You know, my father was a man's man. And so he really couldn't grasp that concept of me wanting this, you know, to the point where we got into an argument when he asked me what I did. And I was like, well, I'm an actor. He grabbed the remote control and turned on the television and flipped through the channels and pointed out people who were really acting. He said, now, where are you? And I was like, wow, okay, Pops. Okay, you got me. You got me. But, you know, so that's what it was about. And before he passed on, he was able to see my career and to see my successes and enjoy that with me. And, you know, we sat and would talk about it. And he understood.
In your sitcom All About the Andersons, your father was so tired of you freeloading in his home that he took the phone out and put a payphone in the living room that allowed you to make local calls only, but for a fee. He padlocked the refrigerator so you couldn't eat his food. Did things like that really happen to you?
No, that's true. That's true. You can ask anybody that grew up with me. My father put padlocks on the refrigerators and took all the phone jacks out of the house and put one jack in the family room and put a payphone in there that you could only dial local numbers on. So I couldn't even dial outside of the area code. If I tried to dial more than seven numbers, the phone would automatically take my money because it thought I was trying to do something illegal, mind you. And literally, I had to put a quarter in the phone every 3 minutes.
Well, let me ask you about some of the other movies that you've made. Could we do this? Can I name the movie and can you tell me something really interesting about the process of making it for you?
Sure.
Let's start with Martin Scorsese's The Departed, in which you get shot in the face at the end.
Dream come true. not to be shot in the face. No. Well, yeah, to be shot in the face in a Scorsese film, yeah. To be a part of that.
What did Scorsese tell you about this last scene when you're getting shot? Did he give you any direction about that?
No, he was like, Anthony, just get shot in the face and fall. You know, that was it.
What did you do? I mean, besides getting shot in the face and falling, like, what went through your mind in that moment?
Wow. I die after the star of the film in the Martin Scorsese movie. I have made it. A brother survived after the star gets killed in a Scorsese film. I have made my place in history.
You died happy.
I did. But, you know, it was just par for the course. It was a job we had to do, and I was excited to be there and to be able to do it with the people that I was surrounded by. So it was real exciting for me.
Okay, Hustle and Flow, a film that in which Terrence Howard played a pimp who really wants to be a rap star, and you're his old friend, and you're the recording engineer who's working with him, and you're also like the really responsible one.
Some of the most fun I've had on a set in a long time, working with friends. Terrence Howard and I have known each other for 15, 16 years now. Taraji Henson and myself, we went to Howard University together, as well as Paula Parker. And DJ Quarles, we've known each other for quite some time. John Singleton has been a friend, and I had gotten to know Craig Brewer over the last few years because Terrence and I were attached to this film from the beginning, and we couldn't get it made. And John Singleton came in and ponied up his own money. And bucked the system and did it his way. And I applaud him for that. And I learned a lot from Singleton in doing that. But we knew that we were working on something that had the potential to be great. And, you know, Terrence and Taraji and Paul and I, we made a pact that, you know, while we were doing this, that, you know, we weren't going to be afraid to fall, so that we could try anything and everything under the sun while the cameras were rolling. And we wanted each and every one of us to know that we would be there to support one another. So whatever it is you want to do on the day, do it.
Did you take
Don't
any
be
big
afraid
chances?
To fall. We all did, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What was one of your chances?
I actually recorded some of the songs that you hear in the movie. Literally, I became that producer. I had never stepped behind a mixing board, knew nothing about the process and whatnot. And I went in there and I learned that. You know, that's Terrence Howard, you know, spitting those lyrics on the album and in the movie. That's him. You know, my biggest challenge was actually recording music.
Well, Anthony Anderson, I really appreciate your talking with us, and I want to wish you good luck with your new series, Kayville, and, you know, with a part of your life living in New Orleans. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much. The pleasure was all mine.
Anthony Anderson stars in the Fox series, Kayville. The second episode airs tonight.